We had walked all day in the arid heat, with dry and sticky mouths and throats screaming for more than just a few mouthfuls of water we allowed ourselves. And we never even saw a single animal or even a fresh sign. Our camp this evening was dry and grumpy and listless. But then the sun crept out below the clouds and just for one last moment exploded the dullness into riots of colour and light. I dropped what I was doing and poured out the little wine left. I went and sat with my back propped against a fallen tree. It had perhaps been pushed over by an elephant at a long past time of deprivation. Or maybe he pushed it over just because he could, like the rush of the storm wind could. But now the sun had bleached its trunk white as bone, and the rays made it glow in generous orange. The heat was starting to leave the felt, and things that were hard and thorny were turning gentle and mysterious. I held each sip of wine on my palate and sucked at the flavours as I let the grand splendour envelop me. After a while, the murmur of night creatures and the flutter of the fire and the hushed shuffling and droning of my African companion started to fill the small circle of firelight. A few times, the even simmer of the night beyond was ruptured by the wail of a jackal, and then the mournful bellow of a hyena, and once, so faint that I had to tilt my head and hold my breath to hear, the deep hoot of a spotted eagle owl. I just sat and let my mind go quiet, not caring about the puzzled looks from my African companions at my unusual remoteness. I nodded to myself and muttered, "This is magic." Later, I wrote in my diary, "I can feel the stories wanting to bubble out from inside me, but my companions are withdrawn tonight, and I understand. It is not the time of stories. So let me free my thoughts, so they can play around in my head. Let me allow them to even go far back to the times on Pa's lap, with my ear against the vibrations of his breastbone, listening to his wonderful tales of Greek heroes and sand hunters. There was the great Leonidas, betrayed but standing proud with his few remaining warriors, facing the arrows and the swords of the hordes of the immortals. And there was Hector, alone in front of the walls, knowing the inevitable result, but bravely coming forth to fight the mighty Achilles. And there was the lone sand hunter's long search through the scorching days, his careful stalk, his mirthless grin as he heard the thuck of the bone tip striking the Elon's flank, and then his barefoot run on the spur through the hot hours of the morning, till he found it, past midday, standing with spread legs and head low, breathing in hoarse gasps past the tongue swollen with exhaustion and with the poison. I imagined the minds of these men at their tasks, how they had to transcend the normal, move into a mental space where they became the ultimate embodiment of their creed, above fatigue and fear and pain. Can one, without having been there, form an idea? I think only if you have felt the coldness of staring right into the face of mortal danger, or have felt the hopelessness and depression of being at the very end of your strength, then maybe yes, you could.